The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So there's a little teaching that has become, I think, has entered into American culture. I've heard it in many forms now, that has to do with everyone has two wolves inside of themselves, and they're fighting, and which one's going to win, and the answer is whichever one we feed. There's some wisdom to this little story, for sure, but I think that I'd like to offer a different metaphor, a different way of understanding, and that is, certainly we're mixed beings. Certainly there's things inside of us which are if you want to use language which is common but not helpful, there's good and bad in us. The way that Buddhist psychology talks about it is there's that which is inside of us which is beautiful and that which is unskillful. The formal technical kind of vocabulary for Buddhist psychological texts is there's the beautiful and there's the unskillful. Isn't that nice? So it's a little more interesting than saying, well, there's skillful and there's the unskillful. You know, it's nice that there's those two options, but the skillful is beautiful. So it's kind of an appreciation. So we have these sides, and which one do we feed? Which one do we support? Which one do we nourish? Certainly is relevant. But the perspective I'd like to offer is that sometimes it isn't so much what we feed, but what we allow for, what we make space for. Because some of that's beautiful inside of us maybe doesn't need to be fed. It just needs to be given a chance. And the unskillful states of mind are the ways we don't give the beautiful states of mind a chance. And so, for example, if you're really anxious about whether or not you have beauty inside of you, you're not going to see your beauty because the anxiety kind of swirls around and covers it. If it's strong enough, it's impenetrable. You can't see through it. Or if you're whirling around with all kinds of conceit about, I'm not a beautiful person, I need to be a beautiful person, other people are beautiful, but I'm not beautiful. And that's that kind of language is in some funny way kind of self-fulfilling. Or at least that sometimes you can't see beyond that to see that there's beauty inside of you. So the more we kind of have these ideas and thoughts or some certain feelings, you know, the more we can't see. So if there's a lot of aversion, and a lot of judgments about, the world is a bad place and a lot of blaming or blaming oneself. And oddly enough, it becomes self-fulfilling because in those kinds of thoughts and ideation, there's no space to notice that which is beautiful. So part of what we want to do is to learn how to allow what's inside, to kind of, that, and part of, mindfulness is to see what's going on, but also to kind of pull the curtain a little bit from, all these unskillful curtains we have that kind of block the view. Let go of some things and listen to the quiet voices inside. We all have beauty inside. Absolutely. Do we allow for it? Do we tune into it? Or is it covered over? And is it lost because of all the kind of swirling that goes on in our minds? So part of the function of meditation practice is to quiet down, is in fact to calm down some of the swirling, some of the busyness of the mind, some of the reactivity of the mind that is kind of impenetrable, becomes kind of a barrier to seeing what's deeper. And so this metaphor of the two wolves fighting kind of implies, at least in my mind, that they're equal. They're like, you know, they're probably the same size wolves, and and they're basically equal, and you know, and they're going to duke it out. But the other image is that there's all this whirlwind of activity going on, or all this fog that goes on. So we're in the mist and the clouds, and so we can't see. But if the fog settles, if the mist settles, or if the whirlwind quiets down, and we listen carefully, and we look for it, I think we'll all find that which is beautiful inside of us. And what is beautiful? What are some of the things which are beautiful? I think a lot of it has to do with being able to have the capacity to have empathy, capacity to kind of take in and have some modicum of caring for oneself, some modicum of caring for the people that we encounter, the world we encounter. And it's the function of the heart to care. It resonates with the world around us. And so if there's not fear, if there's not greed, if there's not hate, if those kinds of activities settle away, the natural functioning of the heart seems to be empathy in all of the different forms of empathy. And that's a beautiful thing. Generosity. Our world would not be what it is without generosity. I think the world probably depends on generosity between people to make it work, not through money and buying things. But you know, so much generosity that's often invisible. Generosity of our parents raising us, even if we had difficult parents. You know, there was some generosity back there. Someone changed our diapers. that. And so the goodness or the beauty inside of us. What are the forces that keep you from seeing your own goodness, your own beauty? Do you have beliefs that get in the way? That, oh, I'm not good, other people are good. I certainly, there's nothing redeeming about me. You know, I'm just a broken person, a bad person, I'm this and that. Can you see, part of the function of mindfulness is show us that those are beliefs. And not to kind of always put on the glasses of beliefs and see it through that filter. So to learn to put those beliefs down. And then what happens then? What do we see then? To not be in the mist, the whirlwinds of reactive emotions. And most of the unskillful emotions are reactive emotions. So anger, fear, conceit, greed, wanting, are kind of reactive emotions. They're surface emotions, kind of. And they're kind of like the surface things. And so if those are active and busy, we can't see through the surface into something that's a little bit deeper. And I kind of feel that the beautiful emotions, the beautiful states of mind, they're deeper in us. And that's why also I'm not so fond of this wolf thing. There's something deeper inside of us. And so if we can kind of quiet the surface, that deeper thing has a chance. But if we stay on the surface and negotiate the world from the surface, we're not going to see it. So people who use their thinking to use their logic to figure out, am I a good person or not? You know, or I don't think it's going to work. Because, I mean, you could. And you can come up with really good logic, maybe. But it's not really, it doesn't really give you access to that place that's deeper. So what gets in the way for you? Is there thoughts? Is there beliefs? Are the beliefs, they come from someplace? Do they come from your family? From your community? From other people? I've met adults who were told something by their spouse over and over again. And at some point, you know, it wasn't very good news. And somehow they started to internalize that message they were getting. I guess I'm that kind of person. So it doesn't have to be from childhood, you know, we get these messages. But have we taken in other people's ideas, opinions? Is it beliefs? Is it that we get caught up in our reactive emotions? And we believe in our emotions? Do we really trust emotions? The one thing we trust is doubt. The one thing we trust is the value of being anxious. The one thing we trust is the value of being at war with everyone in the world. These are all reactive emotions, which maybe have their time and place, but they keep us on the surface. And so part of meditation practice is to settle and quiet the surface. Find some way to not be on the surface of our lives, surface of our minds, surface of our hearts, quiet. And then in the quiet place to listen, quiet place inside, feel, sense, what's there? And you might not see much sometimes, like in meditation itself, but if you come out of meditation from that quiet place, from that still place, from kind of with the surface chatter kind of quieted down, and the person next to you in the meditation hall trips and falls down, you probably offer your hand to pick them up, to help them up. And there, right there, is your beauty. You didn't have to wait for something else. One of the beliefs that keeps people from appreciating their own beauty is to think it's supposed to be a big deal. To think that you're supposed to be like, you know, a saint. You know, it doesn't really count unless, you know, you've, you know, I don't know what, but unless you've solved the Israeli-Palestinian problem, or, you know, fed all the people who are hungry now in Nepal, or, you know, it has to be kind of, you know, otherwise it doesn't really count. Other people are doing big things. All you did was, you know, bring some leftover food to your neighbor. That doesn't count. All you did was help someone who tripped. Those are all beautiful things. Small things are beautiful too. So the last thing is one of the ways to feed the beautiful wolf, or to say, you know, it's not so much a matter of feeding the beautiful wolf, or what maybe one way to feed it is to appreciate it. That's all. We appreciate those, if that's what you like, is the wolf thing and a fighting thing. Appreciate the beautiful. And if you want to get extra credit and really make this go really far, you want to appreciate the other wolf too. Appreciate both wolves. Appreciation, kind of relax and appreciate. Everyone's doing their best. Don't be opposed to anything. And if they are fighting in there, don't fight them. Just appreciate. Learn to quiet the surface mind, and then see what shines up from there. Okay, so thank you.